This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Thank you to our guests today, Jesse Rogers, Dan Graziano, Danny Manning. That was a lot of fun. Thank you, Danny Zetterman. Thank you, Chris Black. Hey, Danny, put Danny by the mic there for a second. Somebody had a really good idea if we ever do this again. So Richard Kelly on Twitter said Danny Zetterman should have made... I'll wait till Danny's back at his console, and then I'll bring this up. You may not be able to cheer on your Wolves live at Allstate Arena, but you can take advantage of their year-end merchandise sale at ChicagoWolvesStore.com with the offer code YEAREND. Good for 30% off select items. Wear what the Chicago Wolves wear with a 30% discount through this Sunday. So act fast and use the offer code YEAREND. That's YEARN, YEAREND. We are the Wolves. Danny, they said if you do this again, Richard Kelly, that Abdallah and I should be a play-in game to get into the tournament.
Well, what I've decided is when this all comes to a conclusion, just for fun, bleeps and giggles, you and Abdallah are going to face off.
Just to see.
Just to see who's actually... We're going to have a champion at the end of this. I'm assuming it's either going to be Carmen or Yurko. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a champion at the end of this, and then we will also have a worst at trivia at ESPN 1000 after
nice.
This.
Yeah, Abdallah like will
that.
Beat me.
As the man that takes the time out of his evening with his family to sit and write those games, Abdallah's effort was so piss poor, I'm actually upset at myself that I wrote a game for him. Like, I'm mad that he participated instead of Merkin.
He's a soccer guy, guys.
He got the soccer one wrong.
He's a soccer guy. Yeah. He couldn't pull Christian Pulisic.
Maybe
the
he's
number
just not
one American
at,
player.
Maybe he's just not good at trivia, you know, because well, he's got to know Christian Pulisic.
Listen, and that might be. And then his attitude went to hell.
Right.
He was complaining early on in the game already that he's playing it under protest. You can't enter a contest like that with all that negativity turmoiling right. inside your soul.
That's right.
There's a recipe for disaster. You've got to come in with a clear conscience and a clear mind, ready to just receive information and snap off answers. I played the game just to see how I was going to do. I only got 5 of 7.
I got 6 of 7. I missed the NSYNC one, not the same one Chris missed.
I didn't know Billy Bobby Brown.
I knew Billy Bobby Brown.
I had Lance Bass, and that's it. I didn't have anybody else.
I wouldn't have even gotten that. Now, when you say that, I've heard the name, of course, Lance Bass.
Sure.
But I promise you, as Danny asked that question, I couldn't name one person in NSYNC.
Now, Nick Carter.
Outside of
but
Justin
I thought
Timberlake.
Nick Carter was
But he's the Backstreet Boys, right?
Yeah.
Who?
Nick Carter.
I don't know.
I thought he was
in
98
right.
Degrees.
Yeah, hey! No. Nick Carter is Backstreet Boys.
Oh, yeah. And Nick Lachey is 98 Degrees.
Right. Carl, but could you and Yurko name 3 of the 5 members of the Jackson 5?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. Jackson, and Jackson.
Well done.
Right. Michael, Tito,
Jermaine.
There you go.
Yeah.
Listen, NSYNC was the heart of their
I guess
youth.
So. That's true.
No. I get it.
Right.
Yeah.
For me and York, that would have been tough. Like, that's the one I missed. I got 6 out of 7. I had no idea.
By the way, thank you to our sponsors, Prop Swap. They are awesome people in Club Hawthorne for sponsoring
Wonderful.
The game Tournament of Champions.
I mean, Danny gave Abdallah a softball to start, and I think that's what sent him into a dark place.
Okay.
He was mad that
How
he couldn't
did he
get
not
Pulisic.
Know Connor McDavid.
Even, I'm telling you, the Pulisic one is a softball for him because he knows who that is, and I think when he couldn't get it, it sent him into a dark place, and that's it.
Can't get out of that.
Then he decided, I'm going to throw the whole damn thing.
Right. Forget Once it. You mentally go there, now it's just to entertain your awfulness.
If he would have missed Billie Eilish, something definitely would have been amiss. Because
Bad
that's
guy.
Just, I mean.
Good song, by the way.
It's
Billie
a very
Eilish.
Good song. Yeah.
I'm just
Bad
telling you guys
guy.
Now, he's going to play up that it was a bit for radio. I'm just telling you now. I know
but
how
nobody
it works.
Buys that because the brutality.
Yeah, Carmen's
all.
Buying it.
I might have
not
well,
even a
I'm
little.
I'm not buying it at all.
He's got to know Millie Bobby Brown. Like
I really
a
don't
pop
know
culture guy.
I don't know who to make the favorite between Cap and Adam Abdallah. Now that's how bad. That's how far the star has fallen.
After what I saw here today, Abdallah. If I'm the odds, if I'm Vegas, I'm making Cap a. I'm making Cap a favorite. I'm sorry. If I'm setting the lines, Cap's the favorite.
Well, we'll ask Viking Scott to set the line on a Dave Kaplan, Adam Abdallah special.
I mean, I wouldn't go like crazy exposure here, but I'd definitely make Cap the favorite.
Like minus 135 or something?
Yeah, I was thinking like $1.50 maybe. Yeah, something like that, you know. Boy,
You guys bet preseason football. They're bound to bet this.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
you're
going to
bet preseason football, you're going to bet this.
Bet amongst your friends now. This is one thing you can wager on.
I've got a great nugget for you. You don't have to get away from trivia for a second. Darren Revell just tweeted this.
I love nuggets.
Wimbledon reportedly has paid $2 million a year for the last 17 years for pandemic insurance. They are now canceled the tournament, cashing in. They will get a check for $141
million. Jeez.
On a $34 million investment.
Makes it a little bit easier to cancel, doesn't it,
sure
guys?
Sure does, doesn't it?
The hell with the players. Let's go. It goes all to the lawn and tennis club.
Pandemic insurance.
Sure, it's out there.
Do these leagues have pandemic insurance? I haven't heard that.
I didn't either.
Crazy. Certain events do.
Yeah, I guess the All England Club was smart, huh?
It's hard to have one for a full season. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're probably right.
But for a four-day event?
For a couple weeks or something.
Two-week event.
I wouldn't
be surprised if the Open had maybe a little
insurance.
Bit of pandemic insurance.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So what do you think about the reports that Arturis Karnisovas?
We watched it. Abdal and I watched some highlights.
Is it Karnisovas?
I think it's Karnisovas.
Karnisovas?
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Arturis Karnisovas is probably going to be the new head of basketball operations.
Sure sounds like it. I think, Cap, you're right about that. That's where we're going. He's going to be the man in charge, and then it sounds like there will be other hires after that. So, you know, he's got a strong background in scouting. That's good. I'm glad that they're changing the way they do things over there. I think sometimes it does become good. There's something to be said for stability like the Steelers have, like the Spurs have, like the Patriots have, but they're more outliers. They win. They consistently win. They consistently produce. Like, I think it's time for a new way of thinking over there, and I'm happy for that as a Bulls fan. I think the way these rosters have put together these last couple of years, I think it's been clunky. I don't think this group, the way it's currently structured, works the way it once did. I think they've made a lot of mistakes with their roster the last couple of years. I think they made a mistake with Jim Boylan.
This started a while back, though.
It did.
Dwayne Wade out for no reason whatsoever.
When I say the roster's clunky, that's the moment that I was exactly thinking of, Yerk. You're right.
What are we doing? Trying to fill the seats here? What's going on?
Exactly. The whole Wade-Rondo thing was awkward at the time. It did not work.
Right, and we want to get younger and more athletic.
I feel like the roster construction ever since has been poor. And I think it is time to do things a different way or to try it a different way. So I'm glad the other team that the Reinsdorfs own, after many, many years of doing things one specific way, pivoted. And they've accomplished nothing yet. I mean, I get it. You know, they were a 72-win team last year. But let's face it, optimism is high, and people believe the White Sox are on the verge of being a good competitive team for the next few years with what they've built. Not that you can do it exactly the same way. It's different in baseball with the minor league system and all the young players. But I think the idea that we need to pivot away from what we've done and try something new is good. And so I'm happy that there's going to be fresh blood pumped into the organization. And it sounds like, let's just call him Arturis. It's easier that way. Is not going to be the only hire they make. And that he's not probably as great as he needs to be in other areas of what is important for a top executive like that when it comes to the cap and when it comes to salaries and projecting out. So he'll probably hire somebody to fill that role, and maybe they'll expand their scouting department. And I think that's all good. But
what do you think about if they possibly bring a Matt Lloyd in as the number two?
I'm biased. I shouldn't speak on it because he's a friend, so I should probably take a pass.
That's right.
I have a personal relationship, or I
remove
don't as much
thoughts,
anymore.
Carl.
Well, that's hard to do. I mean, it's easy to say, it's hard to do. I like Matt very much as a person. For people who don't
he
know
is
Matt
a wonderful
Lloyd,
person.
When I first got into this business and I covered the NBA, Matt Lloyd, after being, I think, starting as an intern, was working in the Bulls PR department.
For 4 years.
The public relations department. When John Paxson took over, he brought him from the PR department into the basketball ops side, and he started learning analytics and scouting, and he was promoted to a few different levels along the way. He has been the assistant general manager in Orlando for quite some time. For 9 years. I can't believe it's been that long. So he's worked hard to get an opportunity to keep rising in the ranks. Maybe he gets some sort of a promotion coming back here. If that is the case, I would love it, but Again, I'm a little biased because I have a personal relationship with him. But in Orlando, it hasn't been pretty down in Orlando. Let's face it. Better this year. Things finally started to turn around. But I do know some of the particulars of what he contributed while he was part of the Bulls front office.
He's well-respected in the league.
Well-respected, very much.
What do you think if they brought in Tom Thibodeau again as the coach?
That I'm not so sure about. I really like Tom. Like, I like talking to Tom Thibodeau. I think that as a coach, Tom's got some shortcomings that I don't think
all
he'll
ever.
All
he does is win.
Well, but Cap, he's also been fired twice. I mean,
that he has.
You know, like, all he does is win. All he also does is absolutely drive his players bat, you know what, crazy. I mean, it's a tough way to coach in this day and age.
And the people he works for.
And the people he works for. I mean, it.
Call him an alienator.
You know, he's great to. He's like John Fox. You go out to the bar and have a beer with Tom Thibodeau. You get him on the air to talk. You're at a party or a group setting with Tom Thibodeau, and he'll tell stories in that gregarious laugh. Like, he's a fun guy to be around. He's a terrific guy to interview and talk basketball with. But look at the carnage in the buildings the last two places he's been in. It wasn't pretty in either place.
He and Karnisidis are very tough.
I know. I would evolve or die, if you ask me. And I don't think Tibbs wants to evolve at all. There's no doubt he can coach, and he understands the game. And he's a great X's and O's coach, especially defensively. The league pretty much does everything like that Tibbs sort of implemented along the way in Houston and in Boston defensively. And he's great at that stuff. But, boy, there's a shelf life, man. I don't know.
He's Mike Keenan.
Yeah, he's kind of like Mike Keenan.
No, because Mike Keenan was hated. And Tibbs has a lot of players that loved playing for him.
I don't know.
They can all love him. The point is, you've got a shelf life. Like Mike Keenan, he's got a shelf life with his own idiosyncrasies and his nuances that make Tibbs Tibbs. Whatever they are, whether people like him or not, he wears on people.
Yeah.
And because he wears on people, he's got a shelf life.
It's just a tough way to coach in the modern era, you know? I mean, it just is. You can call it whatever you want. You know, oh, it's this, it's that. It's the reality, you know? And I don't know. I think it's... I probably wouldn't. You can find other good coaches out there. Go find your Taylor Jenkins. Go find your Nick Nurse. Find your Malone. I mean, like, you can find... I mean, why does it have to be Tom Thibodeau? Why are we... You know, I don't like the idea of bringing the band back together. That never works. The Hawks have tried it. It does not work. I don't like that idea. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would hire him.
I think there are many other why? I mean, for what? To what end? The same thing's going to happen in 3 years that happened, you know, at the last. What's going to change, Cap?
Because he's not getting hired by a strange front office that heard he was the right guy. He's getting hired by a very close confidant that he's going to work for with.
But how does that make his coaching style any different? He's not going to change. You know he's not.
Maybe he...
So 4 years from now, you're in the same place. He's driven every player crazy. Nobody wants to play for him anymore. Look, when you lose Joakim Noah,
And you do know that Joakim picked up the phone and apologized wrong.
That may be, when you lose Joakim Noah, we all know what Joe is and what he meant and the way he played. When you lose Joe, I mean, who are you going to keep? I don't think it's a good idea. I'm sorry.
We will see where it goes.
There are so many other avenues. You know, there are so many good young coaches. If you really look, if you really dig, there are so many qualified people you could find. I don't know why it's got to be, let's go back to Tom Thibodeau. But that's just me. I don't know. I guess we'll
I would
see.
Talk to Adrian Griffin.
Yeah, it's been a name for a while.
He's been on that Toronto staff. He was here. So if you want someone who's been around, who understands what Chicago is all about.
Former player. He played here, coached here.
Yeah. That's the type of a younger person getting a fresh opportunity
in Toronto, like Chris said, like find the guys that are learning from, you know, within these successful franchises. That's what I would do. But I don't know. Yeah, I know that Arturas is. I've heard the same thing that they definitely have a relationship. Why is nobody else hiring Tibbs? I mean, you do have to answer that. You got to ask these questions.
Supposedly, I talked to someone this morning. He said, "Dude, I don't think the Bulls could get him. I think he's taking the Knicks job."
Take the Knicks job.
His old agent is the president of the Knicks.
Yeah. Well, and he's got deep ties to the Knicks.
Yeah, he was an assistant there.
It might also depend on who they hire to run things there,
the
too.
Staff in New York, when he went there as the assistant,
two
assistants were Kevin O'Neill, Tibbs, and the head coach was Jeff Van Gundy.
That's right. Yeah. It probably depends on who they hire, too. I mean, can you see Masai Ujiri hiring Tom Thibodeau? I don't know. You think?
Where's Masai Ujiri?
Well, a lot of people think he's going to go to the Knicks.
Above Leon Rose?
Well, I mean,
Leon went in as president.
Yeah, but can Leon? I mean, maybe he can, like Palinka's doing. Or does Palinka have like a basketball op sounding board, or not really?
That I don't know.
See, I wonder. Like, would Leon bring in somebody like Masai Ujiri to be, you know, run all the basketball ops? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So. But yeah, if it's just Leon, maybe it is.
So that's the rumor. Anyway, I'm out of here. Back tomorrow. You have two great pitchers on.
Yeah, we have Giolito and Mark Pryor today.
Pryor's
the pitching coach of the Dodgers now. We'll see how he's communicating with his guys and what he expects. We'll talk to Giolito about what this has
Please
been like.
Please tell Mark I said hello.
Sure will. We
Big
will.
Big fan.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
careful.
All right, I'm out of here.
All right,
We're back tomorrow. Black, congratulations.
Thanks,
you did us proud, kid.
All Watch out, Yurko.
Take that, Abdallah. We'll see you tomorrow.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now.
It's hump day, and we've got two guys on our show that have advanced in the Tournament of Champions. Chris Black wiped the floor with Adam Abdallah in his trivia contest earlier today. Yurko did the same with the Catman yesterday. So
yeah.
I got to try to represent tomorrow. I think I'm taking on Sylvie tomorrow at 12:35.
That should be fun, Kyle.
I will do my best. Yes, it should be fun.
The dismantling of Sylvie, it happens.
It's going to commence tomorrow at 12:35 Central Time. It's Carmen and Yurko. Welcome in, everybody. We do have two pitchers today. Mark Pryor at 1 and Lucas Giolito coming up in, just about 6 or 7 minutes. We'll talk to Lucas. Of course, Pryor now the pitching coach for the Dodgers. So how are these pitchers going to get their arms ready for a baseball season if they play in 2020? And we're all very hopeful that they will play at some point, but you're cruising along through spring training, and think about it. Like, you're probably to the point, right, where you've built up the requisite amount of arm strength, right, Yurk? Like, you're on track, you're feeling good, you're ready for the daunting season and all the pitches and the 200-plus innings, and then, boom, shut it down, can't do anything. I can't wait to talk to these guys and find out what exactly they can do to try to keep their arm in good shape.
I don't think it's not do anything. I think guys are throwing into nets or guys are throwing into something. Guys are still going to try to maintain whatever they have. They know the process started. So, you know, whatever maintenance, even at the very least, if it's only maintenance as they move forward. But, yeah, they're going to need some time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to need to get back in under the watchful eye of whatever pitching coach that they have. In the case of Giolito, it would be Don Cooper.
Coop-a-loop. So the Bulls are closing in on hiring a new top dog to run their basketball operations department. I guess we'll call it sort of like an executive vice president. Other hires under him are going to happen after that. There's a lot of buzz in the NBA world right now that Arturis Karnisovas or Karnisovas, I'm not exactly sure. I keep getting it wrong in my head. I think it might be Karnisovas. What do you think, Yurk? I mean, now he's from the Baltics. You're from the Balkans,
right,
but you have a pretty good... You have a pretty good sense of these things, like throughout Eastern Europe. How do you think you pronounce that?
I gotta see the name. I don't have it in front of me.
It's K-A-R-N-I-S with a little V over it, Yurk.
Right.
O-V-A-S.
I'm looking at, ooh, there it is. Did you put a H in there or no?
No. K-A-R-N-I-S-O-V-A-S. And over that S in the middle, there's like a little... I mean, it's not a tilde or an accent. It's like I don't know what you call that. It's a V.
It could make it a sh.
Oh.
Like an SH sound.
Karnišovas.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Karnišovas.
We need somebody who's Lithuanian. How hard can it be?
Karnišovas.
We're in Chicago. Somebody who's Lithuanian. Call in. Tell us how you say this.
I'm told in Denver they just call him AK.
Well, that makes it easy. I said, let's just call him Arturis. From now on, let's call him AK. Yeah. Like Andrei Kirilenko. Remember AK-47? Let's just call him AK.
Didn't have a good day. Didn't have to use my AK.
And
it
then
was a good day.
And it sounds like the Bulls will make some hires after that because his strength is really in scouting. If you look at their draft, some of the things he's done since he's been in Denver, I mean, they've done quite well. I mean, the Joker's fabulous, obviously. He was part of the draft day deal with the Bulls. He was there during that whole mess when they traded to get Doug McDermott. Remember, they moved up to get Doug McDermott. That
sure.
was ouch. And I think they took Gary Harris. He was part of the crew that got Will Barton to Denver. And who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting the kid out of Kentucky. Why am I blanking?
Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, they were part of the crew that drafted Jamal Murray. I mean, you look at the team they've built, and you know they've done quite well. They obviously were, the third seed, I think, in the West this year. They were a playoff team last year. I think 3 years ago, York, I think they missed the playoffs by a game, if I'm not mistaken. They won 46, and I think they finished just a game out of the eighth and final playoff spot. So they've done well. They've built somewhat of a mild contender in a very tough conference in Denver. So his scouting background is pretty evident, and I think he brings a lot of positives to the table. He's just going to have to hire some other people under him, but I'm glad that the Bulls are making this commitment. John Paxson gave it a hell of a run. He was on the job for a long time, and he did build some teams that, quite frankly, Bulls fans can be proud of. Those try-hard Bulls were fun. They were never really a championship threat, I never thought, but they were fun. They got Derek. They built a terrific team. We all know what happened. Derek got hurt a couple of times, and unfortunately, the rest is history. And ever since then, they've been not as good at their job. Let's face it. There's no way to sugarcoat it. They have right. Their roster construction has been clunky. You mentioned in Crosstalk the exact specific moment I think most of us go to, and it's the moment I go to in my head when this downward spiral started, and it was the offseason where they went out and acquired Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo with what they already had, and they haven't fixed it. The construction has been clunky at best, and that's why the Bulls are where they are right now.
They wanted to get younger and more athletic, and yet they became older and less athletic. That's what they ended up doing. After stating what they wanted to do, they went and made a signing that made them even less athletic and certainly older in that regard. Why are we looking to Denver's coaching staff to find out where the coach is coming from? Wouldn't you look to there? Where's this guy coming from? Karnaschivas, whatever his name is.
AK.
Yeah, where's he coming from? Denver, right?
Yes.
So why aren't we looking at Wes Unseld Jr. as a guy that might be the head coach?
Is Wes Unseld Jr. on the staff, on Mike Malone's staff?
Special assistant to the head coach or the lead assistant to the head coach. Oh, yes, he is.
I didn't even know
he's
that.
Been around the NBA since about 2005.
Look at you, Yurko.
Number of different stops. Well, I mean, it's not rocket science in the NBA, guys. You look for past affiliations, wherever the guy's been at. Mm-hmm. So wherever Karnaschivas has been, you take a look back where he's at. Some of the guys that he's been with, you know, has anybody else come to Denver with him? Maybe he might want to drag somebody over to Chicago with him.
Right, yeah, like
so
the guys he's worked with.
So I look at
with.
Who the number one assistant is with Denver. I say it's Wes Unseld Jr. Well, that would be a natural for me to think, hey, if he gets the president's job, that might be a direction he wants to go to as a head coach. So but that's just me.
Dropping some knowledge.
You know, every once in a while, and I'm not saying he's the guy, and he's going to be the individual, but he does have experience, Garm.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around the league a number of years with a number of different organizations and a number of different teams.
Yeah.
So just it would make sense is all I'm saying. I'm not saying he's the guy, but it would make sense. You go to that Denver coaching staff. That's who he's familiar with. That's who he knows.
Looks like last year Cleveland tried, not maybe tried, but at least interviewed him when they were looking for a coach. Ultimately, you talk about a gaffe. I mean, they hired John Beilein, obviously, but I was just looking back. Woj had tweeted a year ago, Yurk, that Cleveland was granted permission to interview Denver assistant Wes Unseld Jr. So he's sort of been through that process before, and maybe that is somebody. You do have to start looking at the connections. I don't think bringing Tom Thibodeau back makes much sense here. I really don't. And if Peck stays on, and it sounds like he will in some capacity, I don't even know that Tibbs wants to be back. I don't know what their relationship was like. They were once extremely fond of one another. I don't know. Honestly, I just don't know. I mean, did it totally deteriorate? Is Tibbs' issue more with maybe somebody like Gar Foreman? I really don't know. Maybe Tibbs would love to come back and still be part of this and hook up with Pax and Collins in the background and be close with AK and all this new blood that they're bringing in. I don't think it makes much sense one way or another. It's not something I would do. I'd more, like Yurko said, follow the bloodlines of who these guys have been associated with. Find a young coach that you can, that you feel like you're in lockstep with for your long-term vision into the future. Find that guy. Tibbs has a shelf life. Whatever you think of him, I mean, that's just reality, folks. It is. You've got to accept that. Tibbs can really coach, but he's got a shelf life. And if you're coming into this job, would you rather bring in someone that you've worked closely with, that you're comfortable with, that shares the same vision, the same ideas? You got to start thinking about the long-term outlook and the big picture, and that's what I would be doing, Yerk. So
why I directly went there. Yeah. While you guys were talking in crosstalk, I went to Denver's coaching staff to find out what was happening there. And the number one assistant to the head coach, the guy you mentioned, who, Mike Malone?
Yeah, Mike Malone's the head coach.
Yeah, Mike Malone's number one guy is this guy. Hmm. Then you go and you look a little further, you find out that he was interviewed for an open job last year.
Yeah.
That puts 2 and 7 together. In my mind, I get 14.
And he's young.
I like to multiply, not add.
Right.
I get 14, and he's a young guy. He's got experience, so that's the direction I'm going to go.
43, 44 years old, absolutely.
That's it.
312-332-3776. What do you think is best for the Bulls? Would you welcome Tibbs coming back if that would ever happen? It seems odd to me. I don't think it will. We're also going to spend some time coming up next talking with Lucas Giolito. How's he getting by without being on the diamond, in quarantine, and all this other stuff? We'll talk to Lucas when we come back next.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we all know we should be a couple of weeks into the baseball season, and we're not. Everything is on hold. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, and we wanted to talk to Lucas Giolito because, quite frankly, he's a great interview, but we figured it'd be good to start talking to some of these guys to see what quarantine has been like, especially for the pitchers, how challenging and difficult this might be. We're all hopeful that at some point there will be baseball in 2020. Obviously, the season will be truncated to a degree. We don't know what it's going to look like, but let's just hope they do play. So to talk about it, we've got the man himself from quarantine, wherever he's at. He joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000. Lucas, how are you?
How's it going, guys?
Doing pretty well. How are you doing through all this?
Doing okay. Obviously, feels weird to be sitting at home right now, but it's kind of the situation we're in, so trying to make the best of it.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, too, before we go too much further here, about Ed Farmer passing last week. You know, Ed was, he, in a sense, from like a professional athlete standpoint, he got to experience something that not everybody does. It was almost charmed in a sense, Lucas, because he grew up here. He grew up dreaming of playing for the White Sox, and he got to do that. He got to be a broadcaster here for the better part of 30 years. He was very synonymous with the South Side, and obviously the last few years here being around him. I just wanted to give you the chance to kind of talk about Farmio a little bit and how you got to know him over the last couple of years being a pitcher and, what the passing meant to you personally.
Yeah, I really enjoyed being around Farmio, spending time with him. He had never-ending stories, as you guys probably know from your time talking with him. My first interaction with him, I remember, I believe that it was at the Fan Fest, White Sox Fan Fest. My first one, like right when I got traded and everything. And he, I'm in the room, like I feel kind of awkward because I haven't really met anyone yet. I don't really know what's going on. It's like right at the beginning. And he kind of calls me over, and I didn't know who he was at the time. And he calls me over. I walk over to him, and he just kind of opens up with, I had you as our guy. Like, I had you as our guy back in 2012 when you were at Harvard Westlake. I'm like, wait, what? What do you mean? He's like, when, I I didn't know who he was. But it's like he was like, I don't know, just so cool and welcoming and sincere, like right off the bat. And he was basically, he basically went to the story talking about how he was, talking with, people in the White Sox front office, and he had been out to see some games, amateur games, and he was telling them, we got to get Giolito. And I had no idea. I didn't think the White Sox were like ever interested in me at all. So that was really cool. Kind of my introduction to him. He told this whole detailed story, which was like one of, I don't know, 100 detailed stories I've heard from him from all of his years in baseball. Such an interesting man. Such a, like I said, sincere man. It was, it was definitely a tough hit to see him pass. Tough hit for our team and for the White Sox community in general.
And and it's hard like to truly maybe sort of mourn him the way you wanted, because everybody's isolated and separated right now. And anybody that's lost someone during this time, you feel for them because it's so different. You know, people can't do what they normally would do to mourn a loss like that. So that's a whole other complication of this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, this whole outbreak and everything has really thrown a wrench into, just the way society should be working. Yeah. So it's very strange. It's tough. Yeah, we definitely all miss Farmio for sure.
Lucas Giolito is our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. How are you staying in shape?
I have a pretty nice home gym set up in my garage. And as far as like throwing and all that, I set up a net in my backyard that I can do kind of flat ground stuff in. But I recently found a very nice spot at a park like 2 blocks away from me when I was walking my dog. Kind of like a softball field with one of those like big, like bubble chain link fences. So yeah. I can pretty much simulate long toss into there. And, just kind of gauge where I'm at. I'm counting my throws, doing all the stuff I need to do to make sure that I'm maintaining where I am.
So how long will it take for, like, guys like starting pitchers, when you all congregate and you all finally get back together and you've got an idea, how long will it take? Will it take 2 weeks, 3 weeks to be able to go ahead and start a Major League Baseball game?
Man, I don't want to sound like pessimistic, but I think it would take at least 3 weeks, a month. My worry is that we start and it starts too fast, and then there's just a multitude of arm injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Just to like speak honestly, I think that it's so important for pitchers, especially starting pitchers. You need to build up to, you want to build up to around 5 innings, 75 pitches, at least for the beginning of a season. Most guys will build up to like 6 innings in spring training, with the ability to throw even more once opening day comes. So, to build up to like 5 innings, 75 pitches, you need that in-game experience. That's what spring training's for starters. You go out there in your first outing, you throw 1 inning or 2 innings. And then your next outing, you throw 2 innings or 3 innings, so on and so forth on a 5-day schedule. And you need that because you're going out there, and no matter how hard you try to kind of simulate a game in a bullpen, which is what a bunch of guys are probably doing right now, no matter how much you try to do that, there's no substitute for that in-game experience. The adrenaline's heightened. Your body is moving quicker without you even realizing it because it's that true competition. I think that's very crucial for pitchers to build up over the course of, 5 day of that 5 day schedule. So I think that I could see that taking at least a little while.
Do you have any idea of what a season might look like or where you guys might play?
I have no idea. I've been seeing a lot of things thrown out. I think that it's important that, you know, we continue to develop, like, better forms of testing, quicker forms of testing, because, you know, if we do get together and have a season, if one guy gets infected, then that means pretty much the whole team's going to get infected. And then if the whole team gets infected, that probably means other teams are going to get infected, and that would set us back even further. So for me, it's like I want baseball to start so bad. We all do as players. I know fans share in that sentiment. But it's like I don't know. I want us to contribute to the solution to this problem. I don't want to be part of the problem, if that makes sense.
If it took for you guys to be sequestered somewhere and be in solitude with your teammates and staff and those individuals in empty stadiums somewhere in the remoteness of Arizona,
right,
would you guys be up for that? Would the players be up for that type of thing?
I can't speak for all players. You know, we're all in different situations. I'm 25 years old. I'm married. I don't have any kids. So for a guy like me, it's, you know, probably it'd have to be a tough conversation with my wife. We'd have to go over things. We have to figure things out. I don't see how a guy whose wife is pregnant and due in August, I don't see how he would be okay with that. I don't see, you know, guys that have, you know, infant children. I don't know. I'm not a father. I don't know what that's like. So, you know, everyone's in different situations. You know, a young single guy probably is okay with it because he's used to chilling alone and and just doing his thing. But, you know, we're all in different situations, and I think that's going to take – I think that it's just going to take a little bit more time for players to communicate, for the players to communicate with the league, so on and so forth. And hopefully we can figure something out. I just want to make sure that it's for the betterment of everybody and that we're all safe in that process as well. But I do really want us to get back to playing again. This sucks.
That's well said. Before we let you go, you catching up on any Netflix or Amazon Prime shows or anything like that?
I introduced my wife to Curb Your Enthusiasm, which,
wonderful.
Yeah, which I'm a huge Larry David fan. I watched it when I was like, probably before I should have watched it, when I was like 11, 12, 13 years old. And we actually started on the most recent season, the 10th season.
So good.
And we watched it, thought it was amazing. I was like, you know what, let's just go back and start from season one, because she had never seen any of it. And I don't remember most of it because I was like 12 years old when I watched it. So we're enjoying that right now.
So
if,
great.
If you were to open a spite store, would you open?
Oh,
who do you want to spite,
man?
Anybody?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm not having any issues with any businesses right now.
That's so great. All right, Lucas, be well, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon. Maybe next time we catch up, you guys will have some sort of an idea of when you're going to get back, and it'll be like a mini summer training or something to get ready to start a season. So fingers crossed, all right?
Yeah, me too. We all are, all the players over here too. We're hoping we can get back on the field soon.
Thanks, Lucas. We'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he is, Lucas Giolito, with some very poignant and interesting things to say about when baseball potentially could come back, how we all should try to be part of the solution, shouldn't rush back for a few different reasons, but well said there. And, yeah, the one fear I think most teams probably have is what are they going to do with these pitchers and how carefully do they have to bring them back to avoid a rash of injuries in a very short, quick season. 312-332-3776 is the number. We'll do a little trending, tell you what's hot on Twitter when we come back next, and then Mark Pryor joins us at 1.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
The Noon Hour with Carmen and Yurko is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago. ESPN Chicago and the Illinois broadcasters are uniting against hunger. Eight food banks in Illinois are responding to the critical need for food caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. So please donate if you can. Your gift will be processed by the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Northern Illinois Food Bank. And you can donate from your home. The new goal is $1.25 million. The Illinois Children's Healthcare Foundation is now matching every dollar donated up to $200,000. Just go to feedingillinois.org/unite, or you can text FEEDIL to 91999. And your generous gift will make sure families in our communities have enough to eat. Can do some trending here, tell you what's hot on social media, on Twitter right now. We do it this time each and every day. Mr. Merkin, what's happening?
Gentlemen, how we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm watching around the screen right now on ESPN. They've got, they're showing the par 3 contest, I think, from last year.
Yeah, I think they're going to show a bunch of highlights over the next few days, right? Like ESPN, CBS, will they show Masters highlights? I hope so. They should show last year's final round. Remember how incredible it was? We got up early because they moved it to the early morning because of the rain that was going to blow through Augusta.
I totally forgot about that. But funny you should mention that, Carmies. We'll have that final round replay.
I love it.
This Sunday from 1 to 5 Central. It'll be on.
1 to 5. You can listen to Tiger.
And Saturday, we've got Phil's first major, which was a Masters, 2004.
Was it 04?
It was 04.
Wow.
So we'll have all that on Saturday.
Wow. And yeah, but I mean, last year, the getting up early and having it done by noon and all of us watching, it was fabulous stuff.
And if you remember last year, Waddle and Sylvie had Tirico was doing the call for Westwood, and they had him on like on Wednesday, and they said, I think they even asked him, has it gone into your mind what a call would be like if Tiger Woods won? Hmm. And he kind of was laughing. And then, of course, Tiger goes on and wins.
And I was just going to, I lost my train.
We'll have his caddy on.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Joe LaCava is going to join us tomorrow.
Yep.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. We'll ask him. You know, Merck brought up a good point earlier in the week when we were talking to Bob Herrig. Would Tiger have even been able to play? Yeah, that's an important question. Well, let's see what Joe tells us tomorrow.
My sense is he was basically holding everything off for this week.
That's why he wasn't playing?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, still, you have to play some tournaments beforehand to get ready.
Yeah.
What's Trending is brought to you by Trend Micro, the leader in cybersecurity, protecting over 500,000 companies worldwide. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more info. So a couple anniversaries today, a couple big ones. This was Tiger Woods won the Masters, which gave him the career... The Tiger Slam.
How about
four straight.
Four straight.
Today, Hank Aaron passed Babe Ruth. Sitting on 714.
April 8th. That's right. Milo Hamilton on the call.
Yes.
Pitcher?
The pitcher was... Oh, gosh. Hold on, Yurk. Let me guess. This is a good trivia question, speaking of all the trivia. Hold on. Was it Al Downing?
I thought it was Andy Messersmith, but it could have been Al Downing.
I think you're right. It was Al Downing.
Downing. Yeah. Nice job, Carmen.
Well, I'm trying to like listen to Milo's call in my head. Like, here's the pitch from Downing. I think that's what it was.
Well, we'll play the highlight here shortly.
Yeah, we'll play it.
Chris Second trivia question. Who's the young reporter running around third with Hank Aaron?
Craig Sager.
Yeah.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yes. That's Craig Sager.
On the field.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know in the highlight when Hank comes around third and there's a guy that runs up to him on the field?
I just remember the two fans.
Craig Sager's one of them. Yes.
Another note on Tiger Woods. Last night, I don't know if you saw, he tweeted out a picture, or maybe it was on Instagram.
I did. I saw it.
It was him, his girlfriend, and his kids.
It was great.
Tuesday night is the Masters dinner.
Right.
Right. And so he served steak and fajitas on the side of the table.
With sushi.
Right. So
it was his champions dinner after the last time he won. It sounds like that was going to be his same champions dinner last night. Instead, he did. Is that his backyard in the bat, by the way? Is that what we're looking at?
It looks like it, yeah.
I mean, did you see this picture?
I don't know if I have.
You should go look at it and wait till you see the backyard. Now, I shouldn't be surprised. He's worth what? About $1.5 billion?
Yeah, I was going to say, why would you be surprised?
I don't know. Greg, just like, what in the world? Look at this.
Didn't Bob Herrick just tell us earlier in the week that he's got a 90-foot hole and a.
You see it.
Yeah, and
that's
a sand,
it.
And a sand trap and a putting green.
That's what he's been practicing on.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the thing, and you know, Herrick told us that. I'm going, is that his backyard? It must be. It looks beautiful. I don't know why I'd be surprised.
Finally, guys, very sad day for me because one of my favorite shows is ending tonight.
Oh, what is this?
You guys don't know this?
Hold on.
Modern Family?
Yes. Oh, Modern Family.
Yes. I know it kind of jumped the shark.
Boy, didn't that jump the shark about 4 years ago?
When the kids got older, I think it kind of jumped the shark a little bit.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't even know that show was still on.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that, Carm.
I agree with Carmen. I didn't know that either.
Modern Family.
I'll tell you this, though. Ed Norton's been on some pretty, not Ed Norton, what's his name?
Ed O'Neill.
Ed O'Neill.
Yeah.
Ed O'Neill's been on two pretty classic shows.
Yeah?
Married with Children and this one, Modern Family, that had pretty long runs. You can still see Married with Children.
Oh, sure, and syndication. Yeah. Al Bundy's one of the all-time great characters in TV history. He's a great actor.
I will tell you, Phil Dunphy is also one of the all-time great characters. And Carm, I'm telling you, he's a genius.
Boy, does he remind you of yourself, Randy? Is that why you like to call him a genius?
He's funny, but
he's
great.
Does anybody else get a correlation here? Am I the only one?
I'm getting it. I get it.
Yeah.
WTF, why the face. Yeah, I'm getting it.
You guys want to hear the Hank Aaron highlight?
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Henry Aaron in the second inning walked and scored. He's sitting on 714. Here's the pitch by Downing. Yeah. Swinging. There's a drive into left center field. That ball is going to be...
Great call. It was Al Downing. And then the Modern Family finale. I can't.
Oh, yes. We're all going to sit around tonight and be sad because the end of Modern Family.
Wow. Former Cub Mark Pryor, who is now the Dodgers pitching coach, will join us when we come back. Just after the break, he'll talk to us about the challenges as a pitching coach that he faces getting his guys ready once they do get back together to start a season, which we hope will happen in 2020. Mark Pryor joins us next. We're back in 2 minutes.